comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Strangeness right at the beginning. Hi, folks. How are you doing? Wherever you happen to be, and whoever you happen to be, I'm glad you're here. And there's no better way to start a show about the strange and unexplained than to have unexplained echoes happening. Anyway, there they were, and now they're gone. What's your day like today? I hope it's wonderful. I hope that you are having an absolutely outstanding day, whether it's day, afternoon, evening, morning, wherever you happen to be all around this planet, the most beautiful planet in the solar system. I hope you're having a great day. We're here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Three quick announcements and then some information about tonight's show. K-Files, that's our free weekly newsletter. It goes out starts going out right after the show tonight. Be sure you are subscribed. The Alternative Universe Eye Conference is coming up April 21st. Get your tickets. You can get your tickets right now. And, you know, I was adding up what it costs to go to a UFO paranormal conference, and really, if you have to buy any plane tickets to get there, these days you're looking at about $1,000 to go. Well, save your pennies, because this one's $10. $10 and no travel expenses. So get your tickets today at the Kevin Smith Show website, all right? Just click where it says Alternative Universe Eye Conference. And then we have also, in addition to that, coming up, a seminar that I'll be conducting in our members community called Mars, the Fading Fog. And you want to be sure that you are a member, and then you will get to see that. And there's no extra charge for that. If you're a member, you get to see it just because I want to say thank you. Now, the show tonight is going to be open line, and it's BYOT. We will talk about absolutely anything that's on your mind within the genre of the strange and unexplained, okay? So let's leave religion and politics and cooking and roofing and auto mechanics and all that stuff elsewhere. But we will talk about anything within the genre of the strange and unexplained, and I'm going to open the telephone lines early tonight. I do have an update that I'm going to bring you, and I have a report out of Russia that I'm going to bring you. But then we're going to open up the telephone lines early so that you will have plenty of time to call in and talk about and discuss these things that are on your mind within the world of the strange and unexplained. And I hope you will avail yourself of that. It is a talk show. It's not a chat show. So that means you have to use your fingers and the telephone. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889. The telephone lines are not open yet, but they will be soon. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. You know, this is BYOT night. That means we'll talk about whatever's on your mind within the genre. BYOT, for those who are new, stands for Bring Your Own Topic. Folks, I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, this has just got crazy here. I mean, this stuff was set up and it worked yesterday, and now today I haven't touched it and it's just going nuts. I mean, it's almost as if somebody's just going in there and starting that stuff. I can't say that's what's happening, but I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. Anyway, this is BYOT, and we are going to talk about all kinds of stuff here tonight. That's good. And we'll talk about all kinds of stuff from all different perspectives, because it's your stuff from your perspectives. And I have a couple of things I want to throw on the table first, and we'll get those right now, and then we'll get the telephone lines open. You know the stories that are out there, and you know I've done a couple of shows this week where we've talked about these mysterious boxes that were showing up on beaches in Oregon, and it really was happening. They really were showing up, and we know that because it was reported in some local newspapers there. But the story was out there about these boxes. The story from Dave Masco, he's a journalist, a couple of decades, almost I think 2 decades, writing for military publications, and so he wrote this article where he talked about these boxes, and he said that witnesses said they were metallic, and that they had a hum coming from them, that they were very, very heavy. You couldn't move them even if you wrapped a chain around them and tried to drag them with a four-wheel drive. Okay, so Dave Masco wrote that story, wrote that article. It's a well-written article, and he named a source in there for some of the information, and that source was Dr. Bill Hanshoemaker, who is the director of the Hatfield Marine Research Center, which is operating under the Oregon State University. So, you may remember that he quoted Dr. Hanshoemaker as saying, first, I don't know what they are. Secondly, an alert has been issued and they are being investigated. Okay, now, the next story that came out was not from Dave Masco, but it showed up in a newspaper. And it said, okay, they've been identified, and what they are is pier floats. And these pier floats are made of plywood covered with fiberglass, and inside they have foam. And it's a float to hold up a pier. And apparently they broke loose from a pier during a storm back in January and are now washing ashore and up on the beaches. And so I reported all of that, and I said I do have questions about it. I can't say definitively what they are, but I have questions about that. I don't doubt that pier floats did show up. That's okay. But here's the deal. The deal is, and this was the real hang up here. A couple of points I've got a statement from Dr. Hanshoemaker now, but. Couple of points that were the hang-up and sort of still are. And that is, we have a guy who's used to writing for military publications who wrote an article that was well-written journalistically, and he said that witnesses said they were metallic and had a hum coming from them and were very heavy. And he also, in his article, said that recently declassified documents from the UK show that in the late 1990s and in 2004, British intelligence noticed these boxes showing up on the beaches in Sri Lanka, investigated them, and wrote a report, and the reports were classified. Now, that fact, the fact that they did that, is in some documents that have been declassified. So my question is, if it's pier floats, why is British intelligence interested in them, and why was it a classified deal, if it is pier floats? It is entirely possible that this whole phenomena that we've been talking about is just pier floats, but then answer the question. why was British intelligence interested in this thing happening in Sri Lanka? And they investigated it, and they classified it. If it's pier floats, why classify pier floats? So that's a big question, and it's one of the things that, you know, caused me to raise an eyebrow or two. I would have raised three, but I don't have three. But it did cause me to raise an eyebrow or two, and I have at least one eyebrow still raised. I told you night before last that I had called to talk with Dr. Handshoemaker, and I got his voicemail, left a message, and had not heard back from him. Well, yesterday, at about 2:30 his time, I got a telephone call from Dr. Handshoemaker, and I appreciate that. Very nice guy, and very willing to talk with me about this thing with the boxes. So I asked him, I said, do you know definitively, can you say definitively what the boxes on the beach are? And he said, yes. I said, what are they? He then said they are pier floats, constructed out of plywood, covered with fiberglass, and filled with foam. And when I questioned him about how he knew this, I asked him, you know, I said, well, that's interesting because Dave Masco, his article said they were metallic. And he said, well, in fairness, you know, Dave didn't really say they were metallic. I think he said he knocked on one and it sounded metallic. That was his response to that. And I said, okay, well, so you've inspected them and you're totally satisfied that they are constructed of wood and fiberglass. And he said that he has not seen one of these boxes. Not before, not during, not after. He hasn't seen one of these boxes. And so I ask him, well, then how do you know that it's pier floats? And he said, well, it was reported to him by the people that control access to the beach. And when I asked, you know, well, who was that, he declined to give me that information because he said he didn't want them to be hounded by the media as he had been. And I can understand that. I can understand that. However, that means that I cannot now confirm any further any part of that story. But I can confirm that he told me he has not seen these boxes. And but he is saying that they are definitively, absolutely, they are pier floats, and that's based on what somebody else has reported to him. Now, I have sent a, and by the way, I want to say, I in no way am I implying that Dr. Handshoemaker is not being truthful. And, I mean, I think he is. I think he's telling me what he knows. But he has not seen any of these boxes. I've sent an invitation to Dave Masco to be with us on the show so we can talk about this. And I have not received a reply back from him, but in fairness, I don't think there's been really quite enough time for him to have replied. I sent it via email, and he may not have seen the email yet. But I've still got an eyebrow raised on this. It may turn out that they are pier floats, and if it does, that's fine. We don't have a dog in this race. I just want to know, and it may come to that. It may turn out that it's pier floats. But so far, as you know, you're getting to see the inside of the investigation as I am investigating it. I'm reporting to you the stages, and you're getting to see the steps I go through and why I would have questions. And the reason I still have questions now, I've got two reasons. I want to know why British intelligence was interested in pier floats and why they classified the report if it's pier floats. And then the thing that makes me want to keep looking is Dr. Hanschumacher has not seen these boxes. And so a statement that definitively these are pier floats, well, that's not based on first-hand knowledge. So I'm still in the hunt here for more information, and it may turn out that they are pier floats, and that's certainly okay with me. I haven't said otherwise. But I have said there's some really strange stuff around this thing, and, you know, I hang out with strange stuff, right? All right. Now, I also, let me just throw this in. You know, we did the show last night. We talked about this time portal down in southern Louisiana, right? Louisiana, I'm sorry. Southern Arizona, right? And it's the same time portal that Jerry Wills has been to. And we talked last night with Bill Riley, and he talked about it. And both of these guys talked about getting their information from Ron Quinn. Had a great conversation with Ron Quinn today, and he will be on the show with me next week. He is 80 years old now and still in great health and going strong. And so he's and a very interesting guy. So he's going to be with us next week. You want to be sure and be here for every show, because if you don't, you might miss that one. All right, one real quick thing now, a strange event over in Russia. Have you ever heard of a city called Murmansk? Or Murmansk, I think is the way it's said here in the United States. Murmansk. If you locate Moscow, and then if you go due north, straight north, till you hit the sea, and then just turn left, a very short distance, you're at Murmansk. It's right up next to Sweden, Finland, up in that area. And it's really a place where there's quite a lot of strange phenomena that takes place. Now, the strange phenomena that has taken place was just a few days ago, and it was raining UFOs. I mean, if you can find this on YouTube, just put raining UFOs or Murmansk UFO, and you'll see this. These UFOs would just appear and then just fall toward the ground and disappear as they got close to the ground. Those who are watching on our TV channel in our members community are watching this video, and what I've done is I've increased the contrast a little bit to make those UFOs show up a little better. Simply by making the sky a little darker, you can see them better. Because this is daytime. It's a daytime video. And then I also, I think at the end of this, no, it doesn't. I thought I had zoomed in on it, but I don't do that. Okay, so we can see these videos sort of just raining down on Murmansk up in the north. Very northwest extreme area of Russia, or the extreme northwest area of Russia. And very strange, very, very weird stuff. Russia is, let me put a picture up of Murmansk. Russia has a lot of UFO activity. Russia has a lot of paranormal activity. And it's pretty weird just to watch how Russia over the years has dealt with it. Here in the United States, well, it's pretty weird, but I mean it's fairly consistent the way the government deals with it. And that is they deny, 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 deny. But over the years in Russia, there have been periods of time where they deny. There have been periods of time where they admit. There have been periods of time where they say, "Yeah, we don't know." And there have been times when you could go to jail for talking about UFOs or publishing anything about UFOs. And then now It's wide open. You can talk about it all you want to. And so it's just kind of a, you know, a very active kind of situation over there. I mean, it kind of changes from day to day almost. But right now, they can talk about it a lot. And so people are sharing videos. They are writing about it. They are talking about it. And there's quite a lot of activity, quite a lot of UFO activity in Russia. This one really caught my eye, and it caught my eye because I've never seen this type of UFO activity. I've seen, like, fleets of them go across the sky, you know, in videos. One go across the sky. I saw one, you've probably seen it this week, where there's a UFO that's buzzing some Chilean Air Force jets that apparently are flying practice formations. And there's a UFO buzzing them. And that's pretty cool. But I've never, ever seen UFOs that look like they're just kind of raining out of the sky. This is weird stuff. I don't know what it is. That's why it's a UFO, unidentified flying object. So I don't know what it is. But I've never seen anything like that. Now, we're going to go ahead and open up the telephone lines, and let's see, let's get the telephone number up on the screen, 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889, and it's BYOT. Any topic that is within our genre, just bring it on. Let's talk about it. It can be any topic, any show that I've done, but it doesn't have to be. It can be something else. It can be something that has happened to you that you've experienced, and or that you saw, or maybe it's a book that you've read or a video you've seen. Whatever it is that's of interest to you tonight, we want you to have the opportunity to talk about this. Now, in the absence of telephone calls, let me say this. There's the telephone. That's one way to reach us. If you're in the USA or Canada, that's the way to do it. If you're outside of the USA or Canada, send us a flash message, okay? Yeah, we've got to step away for a break, and then we'll come back. We'll be back right after this.
Here taking all our money, and the people that come into this town, they leave broke. I need you to investigate them. Call me. Hey, 70. If they haven't got me yet, please help me. See you, Kevin.
All right, welcome back to BYOT. We have the lines open, and if you're awake and your fingers can move, it's 623-444-5889. We have a flash message with a couple of questions here from Spardella Giulio in Belgium. So let's get right to that. Hello, Kevin. What about the huge sphere around the sun recently? Thank you, Kevin. All right, that's the first question. And we'll get the second question next. First question, what he's referring to, if you haven't seen this, there's a video at YouTube where it's SOHO, it's a SOHO satellite. And you can see the sun, and you see it looks like a tornado, actually, a vortex is what it looks like, a dark stream. And at one side of, it's kind of coming off at the side of the sun, and at one end there appears to be a big sphere. At the other end is the sun. And then after that is shown for a while, there is like a big explosion, and the sphere and the tornado, I'll call it, flies out into space. I don't know what to think about that. Now, the explanation, the official explanation for that is, well, it's a strange occurrence, but it's not all that rare. We see them every once in a while, and it's called a solar prominence. And we don't really understand what the what they're all about. Okay. Now, I'm of the opinion that just because you give something a name doesn't mean you've explained it away. I mean, they could have said, well, that's what we call a bog doggy. And we don't really understand it, but it's a bog doggy. Oh, okay. That's the response of the mushrooms. Okay. Just because you give it a name and just because you say you've seen it before, that doesn't explain it, and it does not explain away other possibilities. So, some people have said it's a UFO and it's refueling, it's getting fuel from the sun, and maybe that's the case. James Horak addressed that when he was on the show the other night, and he said, well, it's an EMV. And he explained, you know, that it was taking some energy from the sun to protect the Earth, and maybe that's the case. I have no reason to doubt James Horak, and I have no reason to doubt that it's a UFO refueling, because when you tell me it's a solar prominence, and in the next breath you tell me we don't understand them, but we see them, you haven't told me what it is, right? And that's the official story. It's a solar prominence, and we don't really understand what they are and how they're formed and what causes them. So all the official story does is admit that they do see them, and they admit that it was there, but they provide no information or data that explains it, or that explains away these other explanations. So it very well could be a UFO. It could be an EMV. One thing we know is that at least the official story, they didn't try to say it was a piece of lint on the camera lens this time. At least this time they at least this time they admitted that their camera actually caught this, and that it was real. So I don't know. Very, very odd, and perhaps some of you listening out across the country and around the world will have some opinion about or some information about what this thing is. We'd be glad to hear from you. His second question is, have you had any news from John Lear? No, I have not. But I would not expect to have news from John Lear. He doesn't, call me up and say, hey, let me tell you what I found. He doesn't do that. The only time I talk with John Lear, or the only time I get to talk with John Lear, is if I pick up the phone and call him. And usually that's, when I'm asking him to be on the show. So, no, I haven't had any news from John Lear. John Lear has been a very prominent name and prominent voice in the UFO community, but outside the UFO community, he's a very prominent name, all on his own. His dad was the inventor of, and then of the Lear Jet, and the founder of the company, Lear Jets. John Lear holds every FAA certification a pilot can get. And at the time when he did that, when he accomplished that, I think he was the first one ever to do it. And he may still be the only one who ever did it. But he has every FAA certification there is that a pilot can get. He set several world records, used to fly missions for the CIA, has been a commercial pilot. The guy's just phenomenal. And it's always interesting and a pleasure to have him on the show and to hear what he has to say. But No, I have not received any news from John Lear. In the absence of calls, which apparently that is the case at the moment, I want to go back to these boxes, and you might say, well, I'm not interested in these boxes. Well, you need to be. You need to be interested in these boxes because it isn't time to accept the explanation yet. As I said, these may turn out to be pier floats. I don't doubt that there were pier floats on the beach. That doesn't mean that's the same boxes. It may turn out that they are the same. And I've said that from the beginning. I've said, you know, that may be right. It may be pier floats. But the strangeness in this is rather significant. There's enough strangeness in it for me to keep an eyebrow raised and to say, you know, this cover story might be true, but it doesn't hold water. Let's take this call and we'll come back to the boxes. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hey, Steve.
And, I tell you, if those are pier floats, I think styrofoam-filled pier floats are pretty easy to transport around, thus floats, as opposed to being heavy metallic objects that you can't pull away with a four-wheel drive and a chain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, I don't know what they are, but I'd like to step away from that for a moment because Lori and I are sitting outside under a beautiful clear sky here in southwest Georgia, and, you know, a lot of stars out there. It's just beautiful. And maybe half an hour ago, we were looking up in the region of Orion, and we saw something at a great distance up there. It was quite a high altitude, and it was moving making forward motion, but it wasn't a straight forward motion the way any kind of aircraft that I'm used to seeing would make. It moved in a kind of an undulating side-to-side motion, almost the way a fish would move underwater if it was using its tail to propel itself forward. You know, it was a great altitude. It was moving rapidly across the sky. And it had this vague side-to-side undulating motion to it. And, you know, I pointed it out to Lori as soon as she came outside. We were both looking at it, you know, kind of mouths agape and hands on our hips. And then we just completely lost it, almost as if it gained so much altitude we couldn't see it anymore. But, you know, we both saw it, and it was very interesting. I'm going to step away from that for a minute, too.
Well, before you step away,
oh yeah.
What color was it?
Well, it was a kind of a dim red. It had a kind of a reddish hue.
Okay. All right. Now we can step away.
Okay. Now, another phenomenon that's going on out here in the backyard is Lori is taking pictures of orbs out here on her camera. We are seeing some of the most amazing golden colored, green colored, blue colored orbs. They're nested in the limbs of the trees. They're sitting on top of the vegetation, the vegetables, and some of the things that we have growing here in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving through the air. They're just all around us. The cats are jumping around and playing among them, and they're imparting all kinds of really interesting energy. I have never seen orbs as bright. Some of them look almost like images of the sun. The way you would see the sun through one of those solar filters, you know,
mm-hmm.
with the radiation coming off of it and the swirling plasma-looking stuff moving around in it.
Mm-hmm.
They're are just phenomenal. I have never seen them. like I'm seeing them tonight, Kevin. It's really amazing. And I thought I'd just call in and share that with you.
Well, now let me ask you about the cats. You said the cats are jumping around and playing amongst them. Do the cats, the way the cats are acting, does it appear to you that the cats can see these orbs?
I think so. I think they sense them. If they're not seeing them with their, I mean, who knows what cats see, because their visual spectrum is so much wider than ours. You know, we poor humans have such a narrow visual spectrum that there's so much out there that we're completely oblivious of.
Mm-hmm.
And cats see so much more than we do. You know, they're leaping around and chasing each other, and they're jumping into the they're jumping in among the plants, and they're climbing up the trees to the limbs where we see the orbs. And it certainly seems as if they're sensing them some kind of way.
And they don't seem to be disturbed by them or afraid of them, right?
Not in any way.
So what do you think these orbs are, Steve?
Well, I tell you, I have my idea about them. I think that these are consciousness spheres of some kind of consciousness. I think they are not so much alive in the sense that we think of something being alive. I think they are more like life, like they are clusters or bursts or globules of the stuff of life itself. You know, the same way you know, we think of the chakras that people have, you know, that are located in the aura of the human body. Actually, I don't think the aura belongs to the human body so much as the human body belongs to the aura and is generated by it.
Steve, you want to hang on? Steve, hang on. We have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this break. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have on the telephone with us Steve from Georgia. Steve, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence, so the floor is yours.
Oh, that's quite all right, Kevin. I appreciate the opportunity to share these what we've been able to capture about these orbs. Of course, I don't understand them mentally, but they are an interesting thing to pick up on and to experience. Lori has lots of images of these that when Lizette, who is my son's girlfriend, comes down here, she's a real techie, and I'm going to get some of these captured on my computer and send them to you. I think if you saw them, you would want to share these with your audience. They're really phenomenal. Some of them are so big they practically fill up the screen of the camera. On February the 7th, Lori was outside and she picked up so many of these orbs it was almost as if there were a blizzard of them in the yard. You could barely see any features in the yard for all the orbs that were just everywhere. And they are quite a phenomenon. They are quite a phenomenon. And I think we experience what they have to give us more often than we know, simply because our narrow field of awareness doesn't know they are there. You know, the same way we enjoy inhaling the atmosphere, inhaling air, we enjoy that. We like being alive and breathing, you know, whether we... You know, we don't see it, we don't taste it, we don't measure it, but we like it. We like what it does for us. And I think these orbs are some kind of a spiritual phenomenon that is there to impart something to us that's important to us, even though we don't know they are there a lot of times.
Well, let me throw a very out there possibility at you and see what you think. You've heard me talk about that all energy energy is in motion. Any particle in motion is energy. And so energy is, if it's in motion, is a wave. All waves have harmonics. All harmonics have harmonics. Ultimately, all energy is a sphere. And the universe, then, ultimately is a sphere. And what if these orbs are universes?
That's very plausible, Kevin. That's not out there at all. As a matter of fact, what we perceive of as our vast universe may itself just be an orb. You know, that's very possible.
Yeah, and we're floating in somebody's backyard right now.
Of an orb.
And we're floating in someone's backyard right now, Steve. Somebody's taking pictures of us.
Yep, that's very possible. And I'm standing out here in the backyard smiling right back at him.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin, I'm going to free up the phone line now for whoever else might want to call in, and maybe this will stimulate some thought and conversation, or somebody might want to completely change the topic. Good night, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. See, I say things like that. I throw it out as a possibility, and then I'll get email for the next 3 days telling me how nuts I am. But that's okay. Not a problem. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin, it's Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jerome.
Hi. As far as Steve commenting on the orbs, I've never seen the orbs, but I've seen pictures of orbs. From people I know, and at times that they've taken pictures of their animals or stuff, and they didn't even see the orbs, but the pictures, the orbs come up in the digital pictures.
Yeah.
And as far as you saying we might be in an orb, I don't think that's even possible, because from what I understand, these orbs, they give off positive energy. And I don't think if we were an orb,
We are.
Our energy would be positive.
We are an orb. All energy ultimately produces a sphere, a field that is a sphere of energy. Any energy at all, anything in motion, is creating a wave, and a wave has harmonics, and each of the harmonics has harmonics. And each of those has harmonics, so it just multiplies until you have a sphere of energy that's moving. Everything in this universe is in motion, and therefore giving off harmonics. And therefore, if we could back out of the universe and take a picture of the universe, we'd be looking at a ball of energy. Now, if you take a picture of it with optical lenses, you would see optical things, so you wouldn't see a ball. You would see the stars and the galaxies and so forth. But if you could photograph that energy, and I don't know what wavelength it would be in, I don't know if it would be infrared or X-ray or what, but if you could photograph the energy of this universe, it's a ball.
I understand what you're saying about the energy being spherical, and every all energy is this way. My point was that with these orbs, they seem to be a positive energy, because everybody I see who talked to me about them remains positive about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that if there was other universes taking pictures of us, I don't think they would see the positive.
Well, you know, another thing is that for every positive, there has to be a negative. And so, you know, maybe we're the butt end of somebody's battery. But I agree with you. I don't think the energy coming off of Earth right now, if it's dependent upon us, I don't think it's very positive. You know, the totality of the energy coming off Earth may be positive. You know, the Earth is bigger than its population.
Well, and that's true. That's very true. You know, yesterday when you had, or the day before, when Gordon Giannotti Noto was on, he made two comments. When I called in and talked to him, I didn't get a chance to talk to him about it. And also, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity. I know sometimes I get long-winded.
Well, we've got time for that tonight, so go ahead.
I see. Yes, it does seem to be that way. Maybe Steve will call back in. But one of the things I was talking about, Gordon, is he mentioned that one of the callers said something about being selfish. And he said all you have to do is be 51% not selfish. And that made a lot of sense to me, because, mm-hmm. like, we all want to protect our own self, our family, our property and stuff. But there's a point, and 51% sounded pretty good.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a difference between wanting to survive and being selfish. I want to survive, so... I'm going to do everything I can to, you know, have the provisions that I need in the event of an emergency, and I do. I can't last for years, but I've got, you know, emergency supplies. All right, the difference between that's not selfish. The difference between that and selfish is, so when a catastrophe hits, I rush down to the local grocery store and do everything I can to loot it because I think something is going to be, I think this catastrophe is going to be long term, and I want to make sure that I get everything I can get. Well, that's selfish. It's also illegal, but I guess at that point it wouldn't be, what's legal and not legal is not going to be a huge consideration. People are going to do what they're going to do. But to take what's necessary for other people, that's selfish. But to provide what's necessary for me is not selfish. That's just survival. That's not selfish at all. And if I can provide over time, you know, I can stock up more than I need for me, then sharing that with other people. But, you know, you can't give it all away, because once you give it all away and you die, you can't help anybody. So, survival's not selfish.
I think Gordon was making the same point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not selfish to want to survive, not at all. That's why I'm taking the next breath. Hang on, we have a break. We'll be back. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's BYOT, bring your own topic tonight, open line, and on the telephone, Jerome from Pennsylvania. We were talking about this statement that Gordon Gianni Noto made about, if you're 51% not selfish, then, you know, you're across the line and you're among the not selfish. And I was giving my view, which was that survival for yourself, that's not selfish, okay? So, that's why I'm taking the next breath. Now, if I take your breath so that you don't have any oxygen, that's selfish. You still with us, Jerome?
Yes, I didn't hear you, Kevin. also, the second thing that Gordon said, and I think this applies to you also, you're a very logical person, and I appreciate that, and you present stuff in a logical manner. But Gordon said you have to have your heart in it. And I think that you have your heart in it, and it shows, you know what I mean, the passion.
Well, I appreciate that. For clarity's sake, I would say that I do approach things differently than Gordon does. That doesn't mean that Gordon's wrong. It doesn't mean that I am wrong. It's just different. For me, it's not that I don't have an emotional response to things. I do. But I make the emotions get in the back seat. You know, I have an emotional response when something happens, just like anybody else does. But I make the emotions ride in the back seat, and I say, okay, now let's think through this. And regardless of how I feel about it, let's think through this. And I come up with real evidence to the contrary of what my emotions are, then I make my emotions get in line with the evidence. And that's a different, and let me tell you something. Every cop you know, every cop you've ever seen, if he's a cop for longer than 5 years, that's what he's doing. There's no way that you can walk up where there's been, somebody's been shot and there's all kinds of gore everywhere and there's a body on the ground and you walk up and see all of that. You either have to approach it like I just described, or you have to be mentally unbalanced for it not to affect you. It will affect you if you cannot control the emotions and if you cannot make your emotions ride in the back seat while you think your way through this. So every cop you've ever seen, every cop you know, is doing that. If they have survived being a cop 5 years or longer, that's what they're doing. And you have to, you know, you sort of become not human. You don't ever want to get to the point where you don't have an emotional response to things. But the approach that I take is a bit different.
I wasn't so much saying it was unemotional. I just think there's passion in your work, and it comes through.
Well, thank you. There is passion in my work.
Yes, there is, Kevin. And one other thing. Mm-hmm. Who was it? What guest did you have on that said these beach boxes, when the U.S. governments confiscate them, they disappear?
That was Gordon Gianinotto.
Was it Gordon?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that makes a lot of sense. That makes more sense to me than... I think you were being generous with that Dr. Hans Shoemaker, because really it sounded to me like his testimony was only hearsay testimony.
Well, actually, his testimony is hearsay testimony, but that doesn't mean it's not true. I mean, I'm just being fair from an evidentiary point of view. What he says is hearsay testimony, but that doesn't mean that that's not true. However, when he told me that he had never seen one of these boxes, all of a sudden the doors swung back open on the investigation. Because until I can nail down who saw them and how can we verify that float is one of the boxes that's been reported. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, I understand exactly what you're saying, Kevin.
Yeah.
And that's the logic coming into play again.
Yeah, and so the investigation, as far as I'm concerned, is open and will continue to be open, and I'll follow it as far as I can possibly follow it. But at this point, there's absolutely nothing that nails down that it's pier floats. And we do have testimony that is documentary testimony, and that's the declassified documents out of the UK. Mm-hmm. And they talk about British intelligence investigating the same phenomena in Sri Lanka twice, in the late 1990s and in 2004. And their reports were classified. Why would you classify reports about pier floats? The, you know, these are questions I've got. This is why the investigation, in my mind, is still open, and why the pier float story doesn't float right now. It may turn out that they are pier floats, but right now, there's nothing that nails that down.
No, especially with it being classified. Kevin, once again, I want to thank you for presenting me the opportunity to ask questions. And boy, your other callers who don't call in, your other listeners who don't call in, they're really missing an opportunity.
Yes, they are. And, you know, unfortunately, and it doesn't anger me, but unfortunately, what will happen is, you know, that window is closing too, and it's not me that's closing it. And the opportunity to call and use freedom of speech and freedom of thought is going away. And when it's gone, it's gone. And, you know, freedom of thought and freedom of speech is use it or lose it proposition. So, you know, when it's gone, and it'll be gone for us all at the same time. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
623-444-5889. If you joined us in right as we came into the second hour, welcome aboard. Glad you're here. It's BYOT night. Bring your own topic, and we'll talk about anything within our genre that's on your mind, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John from Conroe, Texas.
Hello, John.
How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
Okay. Well, I just thought I'd chime in on the preparedness thing.
Okay.
That's been floating around tonight and a few, you know, phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we should all be prepared. You know, that's part of being an Eagle Scout, is that you need to be prepared.
That's right.
And, you know, there are plenty of ways to do it, and I just wanted to chime in and say that we all should be prepared.
And, you know, being prepared, it's not like something you spend an afternoon doing. It's kind of an ongoing thing to make sure that you've got certain things. You know, I mean, simple things. Folks, have you considered, you know, you say, okay, well, I'm going to stock up on food. Okay, and some of it's in cans. Do you have a hand-operated can opener? That's part of being prepared. You stock up on candles. Now, what are you going to do when all the candles burn out? When they're gone.
There you go.
Do you have a flashlight that's hand cranked that you can crank it and it charges up and you can use the flashlight? How about a hand crank radio? I mean, you know, and it's just a matter of along the way getting you some of these things. And, you know, I'll tell you something. You don't even have to have the hand crank flashlight is a good idea. But, you know, you can go into the garden center at Walmart or Kmart and for under $5 buy solar-powered lights. Now, they're not real bright, but at least you have light. And so in the daytime they charge up, in the nighttime they give you light for a few hours. So, I mean, there's lots of ways to prepare. It's not expensive. And
it's not.
No, and, you know, store water, store some food. I know that there's a department of our government that says that makes you a terrorist, but those people are nuts.
Well, you know, you can get a 50-pound bag of rice for probably $16 at Sam's or Walmart.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, get a couple hundred pounds of rice, that'll carry you a long way. Granted, it might get old, but you won't starve.
That's right. And you know, I'll tell you something else. You can go by, you know, people wonder, well, what do you do when you've saved up bottled water, right? I mean, you've got a bunch of jugs of water, and what happens when you run out of that? What are you going to drink? Yeah, that's a problem, but you know what? One of the things you can do is buy several packages of coffee filters and pour water through five coffee filters and get the particulates out and then boil it. And now you've got drinking water again.
You can probably build a solar still
mm-hmm.
for less than $100, probably even less than $50, you know, and distill rainwater to the point where it's just, you know, pristine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's all out there too.
Yeah, and none of it is hard, none of it's dramatic, but it'll be dramatic if you don't have it and you need it.
That's no doubt.
Yeah. So are you, you said you're prepared. You have an emergency cache of food and water and light sources
probably,
and so forth?
Yeah, probably 2 years worth of food and, you know, all freeze-dried, you know, from,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to name a company because I don't want to plug anybody, but there are companies out there that you can get freeze-dried packs of food that are, you know, really pretty tasty that'll take you into the future.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know,
and I got my own well, so, you know.
Oh, well, you're in good shape then.
We'll see.
Yeah, unless the well becomes contaminated, but still, you know, you've got a water source. And even if it becomes contaminated, you can decontaminate it.
That's true.
You know, as long as you've got water, you can make it happen.
I can distill my own ethanol.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in the gas tank.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, if you can get, you know, a 50-pound bag of maize,
mm-hmm.
I figure you can get 8 gallons of pretty high octane ethanol from a 50-pound bag of maize. And when you think about that, that's about $11. And 8 gallons for $11 is not bad.
That's not bad at
especially
all.
Especially when it goes crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, so nothing wrong with that.
No.
Anyway, just touching base and letting the listeners know that there's nothing wrong with being prepared.
Well, I appreciate it, and it's an excellent point. There's not anything wrong with being prepared. I can't think of anything less patriotic than being unprepared.
Well, you know, you're a Texan. You know, we're self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what is most despised out of the East these days is a self-reliant Texan.
Well, where do you think all of those folks in the East are going to head?
Who knows? They might decide to go swimming.
They might. But, you know, folks in the East who are, and listen, there's a lot of folks in the East that are into being prepared. But the ones that are not, they come into your front yard if they can find it. They're going
to... They won't find mine.
They won't. Well, that's good.
Yeah,
but they, you know, they're going to head to their neighbors that were prepared.
Okay. Well, just chatting with you. I'll talk to you later, Kevin.
Right.
Have a good evening.
Thanks for the
Bye.
Call. Good point. Now, you know, sometimes people have a little difficulty kind of figuring out, you know, well, you know, I thought you said you didn't think anything's going to happen. That's true. Let me ask you a question, though. How many of you listening to me right now all around the world have automobiles? Well, a lot of you. Not everybody. I don't have one. But just about everybody has automobiles, or they have access to one. Now, how many times have you gotten in this automobile and you just took off driving and everything was wonderful and everything was fine? You never even thought that something could happen. Well, every time you get in the automobile, because if you thought something was going to happen, you wouldn't do it. If you thought there was going to be some breakdown, some malfunction, you wouldn't take off on a long trip. You'd get that all fixed up and ready before you'd take off on the trip, right? But every single time you get in your automobile and drive that automobile, do you have a spare tire? Yes, you do. Why? Just in case. It's called being prepared. So, you know, I hear people talk about all of the dire predictions and the, you know, sort of apocalyptic times coming. I don't think that's, I think it is coming, but I don't think that's coming real soon. But what if I'm wrong? I got a spare tire or two. That's the deal. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I'll throw my two bits in on this preparedness thing and the Michael or Gordon Gianinotto comments.
All right.
I kind of wonder which is more selfish to put yourself out there when you are not prepared. And I don't mean physically prepared. I mean emotionally and intellectually prepared to help the people, or to sit back and wait until things settle down so that you can help.
Well, if you're not physically and emotionally prepared to help people and you're out there trying to help them, I don't think that's selfish. It's foolish, but
yeah.
It's not necessarily selfish. Selfish would be attempting to acquire things and or situations to give you advantage and benefit. Things where you have to take that away from somebody else to get it. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I don't think it's selfish for me to have food and water and everything I need to survive for, you know, a period of time. I think it's selfish for me to do it in a way that takes it away from you.
Okay.
But, you know, there are a lot of people that throw themselves into catastrophes, into catastrophic situations. They throw themselves into it to help when they're not prepared to help. They don't know how to help. And they're not emotionally capable of doing what they're trying to do. I think that is selfless, but I think it also is a little bit foolish because it exposes you to the possibility of danger and breakdown and so forth. But if you do know how to help and you don't, that's selfish.
Yeah, I agree. Now, on the food storage thing, with your grains, if you're going to store them in barrels, bay leaves will keep the bugs out.
Bay leaves?
Bay leaves.
Okay. How many bay leaves do you have to put in a barrel of grain?
Not many, probably 5 or 6, maybe 10.
Really? That's all?
That's all. It just keeps the bugs out.
Wow. Okay. So then you don't have to have any genetically modified Monsanto grain that repels bugs. You can do it with bay leaves.
Just use bay leaves. It's all it needs.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you kind of prepared for whatever comes?
Well, let's put it this way. It's been 28 years since we've had one of these. But this time of year in Wyoming, it's not uncommon. It's uncommon for the past 28 years, but it's not uncommon to get 6 feet of snow in one storm.
Okay.
You don't want to be caught without food.
Well, that's right. You don't want to be caught without food. Of course, with snow, there's some water there, you know. So if you happen to run out of water, you can always melt snow.
Melt snow, yeah.
Yeah. And just make sure it's white.
Yeah.
Okay, Brent, thanks for the call. Good thoughts.
Okay, bye.
Bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Folks, have you given any thought to, we really had not, I had not thought that we would go this direction tonight, but that's the way BYOT works. We go the direction that you want to go. But have you thought about what are you going to do, not just if your candles run out, what about when your lighters are out of fuel and your matches are gone? How are you going to start a fire? Thought about getting you a magnifying glass and putting that in your survival kit? Good idea. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
And when the lighters run out, you grab your wife and rub her against a tree till she smokes.
Mike, your wife must be a saint to still be your wife after comments like that.
She is, and she knows that I don't mean any of that stuff.
Now, my wife is a wonderful lady, but a statement like that would get me hit.
Oh, I get hit quite a lot, Kevin.
Well, I can understand that, Mike. If I was there and she wasn't hitting you, I'd be suggesting she hit you.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the bruises I get.
I believe you. You deserve it.
I know, and that's why I don't hit back, because I open myself up for those things.
Yeah.
That's being unselfish.
Hey, well, yeah. Yeah.
No, the thing about it is that I would think that the people that would be more up to really want to survive would be the younger and middle-aged people, because people in their late 60s, 70s, and 80s, if we tried to take away from the young so that we could survive, I think that's kind of selfish.
Okay, we got a break taking over. Hang on. We'll address that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back right after this.
Etiquette, and you're listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's BYOT tonight. Bring your own topic. Open line and the telephone number 623-444-5889. Or if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use the flash message option that's on my website. Go to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it you'll see the link. All right, Mike, had to cut you off in mid-sentence because we had a break taking over. So the floor is yours. Are you still with us, Mike? I hear me talking in the background. Mike has gone to sleep. I could hear a voice about a million miles away, Mike. I don't know what's happened. Okay, we're going to break connection, but Mike, you can call us back, and probably because you're using a cordless phone, I bet you. It's a radio, it's not a phone, you know, and it gets interfered with by RF signals from the electrical wiring in your house, and that happens sometimes. Let's see. Who is the... I think that's him. No, we're not hearing you, Mike. I can hear you through the headphones, but nobody else can hear you.
That's right. You have a good
Okay. Man, I don't know. You probably couldn't hear him at all. He's, you know, a million miles back there. Anyway, thanks for the call, Mike. Good try, and good thoughts. We enjoyed it. 623-444-5889, and we are open line, so what's on your mind? What have you been thinking about within our genre? When the phones go silent, I return to my investigation, and my investigation is ongoing with the boxes. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, I don't know what's happened. We're not hearing this caller either. And I don't know what that problem is. Folks, it was working when we went away for break. Caller, try it again. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Tony from Alberta.
Tony from Alberta. You won't. I won't even tell you folks technologically what I just did. Think bubblegum and paper clips. Okay.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Tony.
Oh, finally got through here. No problem.
Okay.
So let me just shut down my sound here so I can hear you.
All right.
Oh, hello?
Tony, we're waiting for you.
Okay. Yeah, I was hearing, I listened to you guys last night and you were talking about, you know, storing up for, you know, in case something bad happens, food and things like that. And,
uh-huh.
You know. Yeah, and what I was wondering about, a long time ago, you talked about you were selling like a solar generator. You said that they use those in the jungles and things like that.
I talked about solar power that was being used in the jungle.
Right.
What we offered for sale was plans for how to build, basically it's a magnetic generator. There was such an outcry from people who said it's a fraud, it's not real, you can't generate electricity like that. And I, you know, look, I'm an old guy and I'm not in good health. And I don't have time for that kind of crap. And so I just took that off of the website and a bunch of people did buy it. And for those that wrote to me and told me all of that nonsense, let me tell you something. It does work, and people have built it, and it does generate electricity, and you are sitting there paying for electricity, folks. And I don't mean you, Tony, but I mean you folks that wrote to me. You're paying for electricity you don't have to pay for because you're dumb. That thing does work, and there are people that have built it, and it is working. Now, are there people that built it and it didn't work? Yeah, because they don't know how to build anything. But if they followed the instructions, they've built it. It does work. They've written their testimonials about it, and, it works. So go ahead and pay for electricity, those of you that did that. I don't know where you can get it from now. I don't know now. I honestly don't know now.
You don't know where you get the kit no more.
No. It wasn't a kit. It was the plans. And
it was a plan, even a plan.
Yeah, and you just go down to the local hardware store and buy the stuff.
Oh, so you had to buy a book, like, right?
Yeah, it was an e-book, so it was downloadable. And then you just follow the instructions in there and buy the parts that it tells you to buy and put them together the way it said put them together, and it works. And people that said it didn't work, pay for your electricity. Enjoy it.
But I'm kind of interested in that, and I'd be sure. How would I, just go on to Google maybe and just put down solar?
No, it's not solar. It's magnetic. There's another one. Listen, there's another one out there that I see, you know, when you open up your Facebook page. They have ads over on the side. Those are not my ads. you know, but when I open up my Facebook wall, there's ads over on the side, and I've been seeing one, and I watched their video, and it's very similar, and it's called the Mojo Motor.
The Mojo.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, because, you know, I've been wanting to call, and I was going to talk to you about that, because I remember hearing it a long time ago, because I've been listening to your show for a long time, eh?
How long have you been listening to the show?
When you were only an hour on, eh?
Oh, so you were listening, man, that's back when I must have been either in Kosovo or East Timor.
That's right. You're in Kosovo, yeah.
So you've been listening since Kosovo.
At that time I was on phone lines, and I couldn't phone in.
Ah, yeah.
And
yeah.
So now, I'm on,
Well, you've been listening since back when Michelle used to call us.
That's right. I've been listening. Yeah, I've been listening that long. I went on email one night, and I saw your name, and I thought I'd try it.
Uh-huh.
And I listened to it, and I says, man, this is a great show. And I don't miss it, because I figure you got the best show on TV.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And we are on TV. You know, we have our own TV channel.
You give up so much information.
Well, thank you. Now, if you've been listening since I was in Kosovo, you probably caught some of the shows, because after Kosovo, I got sent to East Timor. And so you probably caught some of the shows in East Timor. Did you happen to catch the one where the fighting rooster attacked the pig right under my window while I was broadcasting live?
Well, I don't know. That's probably 8 years ago or something.
Well, you would remember it. I'll tell you. In East Timor, a window is not a window. It's just a hole in the wall. There's no screen. There's no glass. It's just a hole in the wall. And they have these fighting roosters over there. And there's pigs everywhere. And so I'm doing a show, and I'm sitting close to the window because there's also no fans, no electricity, no air conditioning. It was hot. So I'm sitting close to this window, and the rooster attacked the pig. And, man, you talk about all of this squealing and screaming and noise. And
that's unreal.
Yeah, well, and all I could do.
I remember you talking about no windows, you know.
Yeah.
No screens, no nothing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all I could do was just say, well, folks, that's East Timor.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, we've had some good times.
See?
Had some good times in some hard places, but...
it was really a good experience.
Yeah, it has been.
Somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you something. It's great to hear from somebody that's been listening since Kosovo, because... let's see. Well, Kosovo, of course, is where we started, so that was 2000. And I've put up video that shows shows the little apartment where we started.
Yeah, it was a long time. I remember just 1 hour. You were on 1 hour, and then finally you switched to 2 hours. And
yeah.
Then we finally moved into the city, and we could go on, you know, then I could phone. But you know, I've been trying to phone, but a lot of times it's quite hard to get in because you got so many people watching you, eh?
Yeah. Sometimes it's true.
When I was saying, you know, that you run into all these difficulties, like, you know, not enough people become members.
Uh huh.
Basically, what I would do, I mean, you probably wouldn't do that because I would say, you know, there's a set time it's going to be free, and after that, maybe once a week it'll be free, and the rest you're going to have to be members. Because that's the only way to survive. You know.
Well, yeah, see, here's the problem, though. The problem is that we have people listening to us literally everywhere. We have people in Kuwait, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in China, in Cambodia, in Vietnam, and Thailand. And the problem is that $7.50 a month, while that's just really rock-bottom nothing, in Western economies, that's a lot of money in a lot of these places.
I guess so, yeah. No.
And I want people to get the information, but we do have to support the show, too. And you know, I keep the radio streams free in hopes that folks that can afford the $7.50 will understand You know, if they don't stand with us, we don't stand.
And, you know, and it's worth every dime.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, you know, you have a great show. You have great guests. You're a great host, you know.
Well, man, I could take calls like this every night. This is fantastic.
Well, I'm glad I could finally get on, eh?
Yeah.
Because, I got a call, and talk, because I've been watching the show for so long, and I just never miss it. It's just, my wife says, oh, you better watch Kevin Smith. He's going to be on.
Well, there you go. You got a good wife. You know, let me tell you this. You know, one of my closest friends when I was international police was a guy that was RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police. We served together in Bosnia, and then we wound up serving together in Albania.
Oh, wow.
And he actually went with me on a very ticklish and potentially very dangerous assignment, and so we got to be very close friends. His name is Jeff.
So the RCMP, he was what they say. These guys are tough and they're smart.
Yeah, but you know something? This guy had one of the greatest senses of humor that I have ever seen. I mean, sometimes it was hard to stay focused on what we were doing because he was just funny. Yeah, he could be a stand-up comedian. He was really a great guy. And, one of his favorite phrases, if somebody said they were going to, I'm going to do this. I'm going to beat you up or whatever, you know. His favorite phrase was, "Hey man, fill your boots."
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a real pleasure working with him. All right, man.
It was, yeah.
Tony, I want to thank you for the call. I'm glad you finally got through.
Well, it was nice talking to you.
Well, don't let this be the last time.
I'll try and get on more often.
All right. And thanks so much for the call. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is BYOT. We are now on final approach. That means we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show, and then it's lights out for the weekend. Well, not exactly. You can still catch us at Indy 104 on Saturday and Sunday evening. We're there with the best of Kevin Smith. So we take a couple of shows from this week and a couple of the hot shows. Well, they're all hot. We take a couple of them, and one Saturday and one Sunday. If you have a question, a comment, BYOT topic that you want to talk about, we still have a few minutes left, and we'd love to hear from you. I'll tell you, it was really great to hear from Tony, somebody that's been listening to us since Kosovo. That's back at the very, very beginning. You know, when we started, those of you who have become acquainted with the show and started listening to the show, you don't know this. When we first started, I started in Kosovo in my little apartment in Pristina, Kosovo. I was international police officer there. And so I started because there was a blizzard that knocked out all the electricity. And there, electricity is not down for 2 or 3 hours or 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks. Once it goes down, it's probably down for the duration of the winter. Once in a while, it would come back on. And so I'm in my truly tiny apartment. I could sit in a chair with my back to the wall and stretch my feet out and put my feet on the couch, prop them on the couch across the living room. That's how small it was. And that's where it started. But I started it because I was bored with no electricity. There was nothing to do. And, you know, I had a little candle, and I'm sitting there freezing. It was well under 0 degrees Fahrenheit and freezing every night. So I decided to bring the laptop home from the office. They had generators at the office, and I charged the laptop up. And I decided I'm just going to talk to this laptop as if it's a neighbor that came over and we're having coffee. And I started talking about things I was interested in and just recorded them into the laptop. Nothing else to do. That's how the show started. Believe it or not, that's how the show started. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia calling once again.
Okay, Steve.
And I would like to join the last caller in plugging the importance of membership to the Kevin Smith Show. Every show that you have is a lot of groundbreaking information, things that you're just not going to hear anywhere else. But more than that, beyond that, in the forums and the things that only members have access to, there is an incredible amount of information that's imparted there, and dialogue that goes on, and brainstorming and thought exercise that doesn't make the programs, it doesn't make the broadcasts, but it's just an incredible amount of background activity going on in the Kevin Smith community. That if people would just take that little bit of expense, I mean, I don't even want to call it expense. It's you could almost panhandle that kind of money, and you'll be exposed to just some incredible stuff. It's really it's an adventure belonging to the Kevin Smith community, and I would recommend it to anybody out there in the audience. You're really missing out if you're not a member.
Man, I appreciate you saying that. But, you know, it's one thing when I say it, but when folks, I didn't put you up to this, did I, Steve?
No, you didn't pay me a dime, Kevin.
And I didn't put Tony up to it. You know, when you hear members talk about what they're getting out of being members, then, you know, that's even more important because, you know, it's not just me saying it's great stuff. It really is great stuff. But, you know, here's a member.
Yeah, the Kevin Smith Show itself, the broadcast is like the tip of the iceberg. This is the tip of the iceberg. The community and the forums and the blogs and all the conversations that happen in the background, that's really, that's where the bulk of stuff is really happening. And having said that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off, Kevin.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Well, you know, it really is true, folks. I mean, it really is. And you hear me say it, and it just sounds like I'm advertising to get you to join. And I am advertising to get you to join. But when I tell you, you're going to get more than what you're paying. You know, you pay $7.50 a month. That comes out to 25 cents a day. That's less than you paid for school lunch in the second grade. And, you know, for most of you, second grade was a while back, right? But you get way, way, way more than $7.50 worth of stuff in that members community. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show, and you're going to be my last caller this evening.
Wow, I'm good at that.
Yeah, your first name and where are you calling from?
Leah from Tennessee.
Hello, Leah.
Hey, I have to say, Sheila and I was just talking about this yesterday, how it's been your show has got so much information and mind-blowing things happening where your guests and the way you interview them, like, and I miss them, like Dick Criswell and James Horak and all these ones that come out with this holy cow information where I try to work when I listen, I will just stop working and just start pacing.
So I interrupt your work.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I do.
It's through the years. It just keeps happening.
Yeah.
And I do. I miss, like, Michelle and all those other callers that used to call in, too. But, you know, more keep coming along.
Well, that's true. So you remember Michelle. You remember what a shock it was?
He was so sweet.
Yeah. And
smart.
Very. And you remember what a shock it was to the entire audience when we found out he had passed away?
Yeah, you know, you
it was like family.
I knew him. Yeah, I cried for that one.
Yeah.
And Dick, too.
Yes, Dick Criswell. And, you know, these things are bound to happen over the years, but, you know, it really is like a family.
It is. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Michelle asked me the last time he called, he said, "Are you taking me seriously?" You remember that?
Yeah.
And I said, "Yes, I do. I take you seriously."
I said, "I am."
Yeah. He said, "Well, that's, you know," he said, "you might not agree with me on everything, but as long as you're taking me seriously, that's the important thing here." And that's the last time we heard from him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's nice, that is good about your show, too, is through the archives and go back and re-listen to those and relive them, and he's still with us, and
yeah.
Dick's still there, and you had so many good shows through the last, you know, umpteen since you started years.
Yeah. Well, we used to have even more in the archives, you know. It went all the way back to, the archives at one point went back to 2002, and the hosting company that we were with, I got up one day and all of our archives were gone. They were just gone. And the hosting company said, "Well, we had a policy change. You can't have MP3 files."
Well, that's not fair.
Yeah. And I had people that said, "Well, didn't you have them backed up?" You know something? We had some of them backed up, but not all the way back to 2002. And the reason is, we were storing them on the server, you know, the older ones, because you run out of space. Leah, thanks for the call. We have hit the end of the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, wish we had more time. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.